Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZ News. It's Saturday, April 11th. I'm Ngozi Cole. In this week's news, young people experiencing mental health crisis in Santa Cruz County now have access to short-term treatment. A crisis stabilization unit opened this week at Hope Forward Esperanza Adelanta Youth Crisis Center in Live Oak. Dr. Marnie Sandoval, Director of Santa Cruz County Behavioral Health, said this space will help reduce unnecessary hospital emergency visits.
And we want to help defer folks from going to a hospital emergency room when there really isn't a physical health crisis, so that we can make sure when there's a mental health crisis that they're coming to a facility that's specifically designed to support stabilization in those types of circumstances, rather than, you know, flooding our emergency rooms at our hospitals.
Sandoval says she also hopes young people and their families will no longer need to travel outside the county for urgent mental health care. The Crisis Stabilization Unit is run in partnership with the social service agency Aspiranet. And a regenerative agriculture training program is coming to the Central Coast. KZU's Elena Nilsax has that story.
Beginning farmers on the Central Coast will soon have access to expanded training programs.
As farmers retire out, it's important that the new generation is supported in an equitable way.
Josefina Lara Chavez runs the Regeneration Latina Alliance in Agroecology and the Food System. Her organization got a federal grant to provide technical assistance and workshops.
We will have practitioners come in, you know, soil scientists, business planning professionals, folks that work in policy and can explain and break down what the ag world looks like.
Chavez knows federal money for small Latina-run farms is exceptional these days.
Latinos are the largest minority group of farmers in the United States, and particularly in California, but we're largely underserved.
The workshops will be offered in English, Spanish, and indigenous languages. Chavez expects 40 to 60 farmers at each one.
Elena Nilsax also reported about the rising pressure on the state to increase funding for small farms and food banks.
Federal cuts are hitting all sides of the farm-to-table supply chain. That has advocates for small farms and for people facing food insecurity pushing for more state funding. On the farm side, proponents are trying to save the Local Food Purchase Assistance, LFPA, program, which got cut last year.
We're asking for a bridge. We're asking for the state to keep the program going, utilizing state resources.
That's Jamie Fanus at the Community Alliance with Family Farmers. She says in Monterey and Santa Cruz counties, more than 110 farmers have relied on the program to sell to food banks.
There is a chance that we will lose those farms if LFPA doesn't get continued funding.
A draft version of the federal farm bill includes an LFPA revival, but it's unclear if or when that will become law. What is clear is that the need for food is growing. Federal food assistance cuts made last year are starting to take effect now.
We're going to see, you know, 10 to 20% of the entire state's SNAP caseload drop off the program. And where people will turn first is to food banks.
Jared Call with the California Association of Food Banks wants the state to increase funding for the Cal Food Program, which helps food banks buy California-grown products.
It's really a great partnership with our farmers.
Though focused on different programs, Call and Fanus both want the state budget, which will be revised in May, to protect the local food supply. That's as the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which oversees food and farm programs, faces a 19% cut in President Trump's proposed budget.
And in other local news this week, the Monterey County District Attorney's Office has concluded its investigation of the fatal shooting of Ronald Tinsley in Marina. A Marina police officer killed the 31-year-old during a traffic stop on January 18th. In a 12-page letter to Marina Police Chief Randy Hopkins, the DA said there was insufficient evidence to show the officers involved broke the law. The Marina Police Department did not respond to a request for comment in time for broadcast. The Monterey County DA's office is also warning people about scammers impersonating local officials. Erin Mosbury has more on that.
FDA investigator Justin Bell says caller IDs and email addresses can be manipulated to look legitimate.
And now with AI, it's very easy to use voice changers to sound like someone that works at an office or someone that's been on TV.
The DA's office recommends asking for a name and title, then hanging up and calling the agency or company.
And Salinas City Council member Andrew Sandoval discussed a state bill that would ban forever chemicals. KAZU's Katie Brown has that story.
In a webinar Wednesday, staff from the Environmental Working Group presented their analysis of the impacts PFAS pesticide residues leave behind. Salinas City Council member Andrew Sandoval was among the speakers.
Lately, I've been more increasingly concerned about the pesticides my family and neighbors have been regularly exposed to.
Sandoval noted Monterey County children are exposed to elevated levels of forever chemicals. He also cited an EWG finding that these chemicals were applied in Monterey County more than 1,000 times between 2018 and 2023.
Nearly 500,000 pounds of PFAS ingredients were spread throughout our county. It's time to put an end to the widespread use of these pesticides.
EWG's analysis found PFAS chemicals were active in 5% of state-registered pesticides. The chemicals persisted on 15% of state-grown produce. The far reach of these pesticides prompted LA County Assemblymember Nick Schultz to sponsor AB 1603.
We can do better for our kids. I'm not trying to upend or demoralize or make it harder than it has to be an industry that is the cornerstone of California's economy. And that's what I'm asking everyone. If you think the bill isn't perfect, great, then work with us to make it better.
The bill would ensure communities get updates when PFAS chemicals are sprayed nearby ahead of its goal of a 2035 phase out.
And some Monterey students are back from a regional robotics competition. KAZU's Martha Tabarez spoke with members of the team.
This is York School's 10th year participating in the first robotics competition. Team Captain CJ Winter, a senior, says the robot had to handle foam balls.
This year, we had to figure out how to intake the balls, store the balls, shoot the balls, and also go under the obstacles in the way.
York School 8th grader Veer Bajaj said the team built the robot with 3D printing and laser cutters.
We've put it all together, wired up the batteries and the RoboRio, which is the brain of our robot. Then we would code the robot to be able to shoot.
Things got stressful at times, but overall the team had a good run. And Sky Brown, a junior, encourages more students to try robotics.
Just try new things. I know that can be so scary, and it's like the stereotypical advice everyone gives you, but it's the best way to go about it.
In Monterey, Martha Tabarez, KAZU News.
York School is one of KAZU's many underwriters. We're wrapping up this week's episode with Alina Nolsax's interview with a housing advocate who shares policies and personal stories about what it takes to house people.
Roxanne Wilson is the Director of Homeless Services for Monterey County. I asked her to sit down with me for an interview a year ago, but she wanted to wait until two major projects were completed. Now they finally are. Hope Village in Watsonville and Sendero in Soledad are transitional housing facilities with support services for a combined 50 people. I asked Wilson to start by explaining why these projects are necessary and what it took to get them up and running.
Sure. So both of those projects are specifically to serve people who are living in pre-identified encampments. We'll actually start with Watsonville, or Pajaro. I want to start with Pajaro. Historically, what's happened is either the County of Monterey, the County of Santa Cruz, or the City of Watsonville would do an encampment cleanup, and people would just go to the other side. And that's been going on for like a decade. And when I first got to the county, one of the first tasks that I was assigned was to prepare for us to do our annual cleanup of the Pajaro Levee. And if anybody knows me, I hate cleanups. Like, I get it. I understand. But I hate them, especially when it comes down to people just not having alternative resources. That was kind of the beginning of those conversations of we can't do it like this anymore because it's, one, very costly, two, ineffective. So how are we going to move forward in a more strategic way?
Mm-hmm. And for both of those projects, when were each of them proposed? And then why did they take so long?
The Pajaro Levee. That one we submitted in 2023. And then we submitted the application for Soledad in 2024, and they opened about 2 weeks apart from each other. And the difference is honestly, it's politics. There is a lot of opposition in the city of Watsonville. The Watsonville project was appealed twice. That was rough to get through it. We had really relied on new state legislation. And unfortunately, the state of California had to get involved in a way that was fairly aggressive to just let everybody know, like, no, this is going to happen. And eventually we got there. In Soledad, there's also multiple jurisdictions. It's Caltrans, County of Monterey, and Soledad that all touch this encampment along the Salinas River. The difference between Soledad and Pajaro is the city was such an incredible, like, piece. They really held it down.
What insight do the Watsonville and Soledad projects offer about the broader challenges that cities, counties, and organizations face while trying to eliminate homelessness in their communities?
There's not any legislation that says who's in charge of addressing homelessness. So that's the first big problem, especially when we're talking about different jurisdictions. If you don't have enough rapport to really delineate who's responsible for what, it can get pretty messy. I think in the future, I would certainly want to make sure that we have, like, written agreements with the city so that everyone knows that these are our roles and responsibilities.
I also want to, if you're comfortable sharing, I'd love to hear how your own experience with homelessness has shaped your approach to your job.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to get more and more comfortable talking about that. So for everybody who does not know, Roxanne Wilson at one point was living inside of her car with her daughter. And I didn't even know homeless programs existed. So that is a crazy problem. And I had no idea what a shelter was. I was in my early 20s, mid-20s, or transitional housing programs. I just didn't even know this world existed. I think even though I never thought that I was going to land here, my own personal experience has shown up throughout the whole entire time. And the amount of compassion that it takes and understanding. When I fell into homelessness, I was working two jobs. And I was living in my car. So I hate that narrative that everybody is lazy. They just need to strap up their bootstraps. Like, there's a lot of people who are working and do not have somewhere to live. And I think that that has been a big driver for me, is we're focusing on the wrong things. We need to focus on, like, the real lived experience of individuals, trying to catch them early enough in their homelessness, and then also building specific programs for people who's been experiencing homelessness for a really long time.
What are the main projects right now that you and your team are working on?
I'm still focusing a lot on, like, taking care of our rural parts of our county. We are exploring doing a safe parking program in North County at this time. You know, oftentimes people fall into homelessness. The first step is living in their cars. And when you're living inside of your cars and you're racking up tickets, or you go to work and you come back and your RV is taken, like, that is detrimental to people. So just really looking at exploring the potential of doing that in North County.
I am curious, how would you characterize where the state has kind of been in recent years? And to what extent do you agree with that approach? And to what extent do you wish it were different?
Under Gavin Newsom, we've seen unprecedented investments from the state. From their perspective, I can see the frustration, right? They have put so much money into this. And there are many communities that are just trying to do, like, the bare minimum. I'm grateful to work for a county where our Board of Supervisors had adopted a policy that says we will try, at least, to get people connected to services. I think for the state, the hard part is that they don't understand how crazy bureaucratic it is on the ground. It takes them, like, a year to create a law on the state level. It could take 2-3 years for us to figure out how to implement it locally.
I do also want to talk about the federal changes, because
that's a fun one.
Yeah. I mean, now, very quickly, the federal government has decided to abandon ship on Housing First as a strategy. And now the focus seems to be mostly temporary shelter and criminalizing homelessness.
I'm gonna tell you, it took me like 17 years to make enough money and figure out my life and clean up my credit and do all of those things that I needed to get into this position where I can like breathe freely. Having this expectation that people can fix everything in 6 months is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. What I'm learning is that there are those two different types of people, right? You have the people who are very much looking at it from the social component. They're more empathetic, more compassionate. You talk to those folks in a very specific way. Like what I was just sharing with you, you humanize the individuals. And I think that what we did in the homeless sector where we failed is that we tried to speak that language to people who don't speak that language.
Hmm.
So for the other side, we need to talk more about numbers. We need to talk more about the impacts of allowing people to remain homeless, not just what's going to happen to that person, what's going to happen to the infrastructure of the bridge. Honestly, like I said, everyone is like one paycheck away, one horrible thing happening. And it happened to me. So it can happen to anyone.
What's your favorite part of the job?
Meeting people that something we did changed their lives. I'm going to get emotional.
That's okay.
My favorite thing. Mm. Favorite thing. I have been like walking in public spaces and just a random person will come up to me and say, "You probably don't remember me, but..." Like that is it. That's it. Because somebody believed. And that's all it takes for a lot of people. Humans are like that. You just need someone to believe that you can do it. We will have attrition. We will have people who are like not ready to take the steps. And that's okay. Because I just want to make sure we have a system that's there when they are.
That feels like a good place to leave it. Do you have anything else that you wanted to say?
I'm going to end on this. The last time we counted, and there was a published number, is what, 2,436, something like that. Number of people experiencing homelessness. Even if 2,436 people were perfect, we don't have 2,436 places for them to live. So we would still have homelessness. And I just ask that everybody really like sit in that and understand that it is a very complex problem. And it requires all sectors to move in the same direction, which is a beast to get done. But we're working on it.
Well, thank you, Roxanne. I really appreciate this.
That was Elena Nolsex talking to Monterey County's Homeless Services Director, Roxanne Wilson. And that's all for Monterey Bay this week. This episode was produced by me and Ngozi Cole. It was reported by me, Martha Tabarvez, Katie Brown, Erin Malsbury, and Elena Nolsex. This episode was edited by Katie Brown. We'll be back with more local news next week. Have a great weekend.